Welcome to The Broken Arrow, a traditional bow hunting podcast brought to you by Addictive Archery with your hosts, Schaefer Magnet and Chris Siegel.
I guess to start this podcast off, Blaine, if you want to go ahead and just kind of tell us who you are and what you do, and then I'm sure the conversation will just go a little everywhere after that.
Sure. Well, I'm Blaine. I'm also known as Stumpstalker on Instagram. That's the name of my business, Stumpstalker Archery. I live up in Canada, northwestern BC, kind of off the coast in an archipelago of islands out here. We're a six-hour ferry ride from the mainland, so we're pretty remote. Anyway, but we can get more into that later. I've been building arrows professionally for about 6 years now, and it just worked out so well that I was able to end up meeting with Wayne from True Shaft Archery, and he kind of encouraged me into starting building arrows, and I just dove into it, and I've been pretty much doing that for 6 years. So
is that your full-time thing?
Yeah, it's my only thing. It's maybe not quite full-time, but yeah, it's my only thing.
Well, that sounds like a good life right there.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, that's hard. Well, to meet.
I was doing HVAC work and did that for 10 years, and then my wife got pregnant, so when the baby was born, she's a massage therapist and she couldn't take any of the parental leave. So I took it. Like in Canada, we get up to a year of parental leave. So I was able to take that and I just never went back to work. So
that doesn't sound terrible.
No.
So I got to be a full-time parent for a bunch of years. And pardon me, now we've done this big shift in our life and moved up to this remote place. And we're kind of both working part-time and just enjoying life.
That's awesome. Well,
I was about to say, that does not sound like a bad life at all.
No. How long ago did you guys move up there?
Getting close to 2 years. We moved up in July 2020.
Where were you originally?
We were on Vancouver Island.
Oh, okay. Which is also cool, right? I've never been there, but everything I see of it looks awesome.
Yeah, Vancouver Island's really cool. It's always home. It's always going to be home for me. I mean, I lived there my whole life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything was just, places getting busier and busier. So let's try something else. So we came up here.
So I started following you on the internets, Instagram, whatever. I don't know, maybe a year or longer ago.
Uh-huh.
And the places you go shooting are like the most beautiful places I think I've seen on the internet. Is the whole place like that? The whole island? Like that mossy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Man, it's cool. It looks like, what is it, like Pacific Northwest, like rainforest kind of thing, right?
Yeah, well, you know where Prince of Wales Island is in Alaska, Southeast Alaska?
Mm-hmm.
We're just south of that, so we can actually see Prince of Wales from the top end of the North Island. In Haida Gwaii, which is where I'm at.
Do you hunt?
Oh, yeah.
And how's the hunting there?
It's pretty incredible. We have introduced Sitka blacktails, so they were never native here. And there's no big predators, just black bears. So no wolves and cougars, so the deer are very prolific. So we're allowed 15 tags per season per hunter up here.
Oh my
islands.
God. So not only is it beautiful, it's the hunting opportunity is incredible.
Yeah, our season's 9 months long.
We won't tell anybody. We'll keep this a secret.
Okay, yeah, just Blaine call that out, eh?
Oh, man.
You know, like 10 people might hear this.
So yeah, so you're good.
Yeah, much of an influx.
Nobody listens to us. Don't worry about it.
Half of those people are your moms and dads, and
exactly. And my son, my sister, my son's our newest listener.
Your son listens.
So we're definitely keeping it clean. Yeah.
You make your son listen to it on loop just to get the more listens.
I didn't have anything to do with this. He just came up to me yesterday and he's like, I listened to your podcast today. He's 9. I'm like, what? Wow. He's like, yeah, I listened to your podcast, and I'm like, How? He's like, I found it on Spotify. I'm like, oh dear God, I need to start monitoring your computer usage a little more. And yeah. B, I'm like, all right, good thing we're kind of keeping it clean. Now we're really keeping it clean.
There's going to be a few less wood arrow into windows being thrown around, that's for sure.
Well, hopefully some of those, like, you know, like the Disney movies have a few like little adult humor that goes right over their heads. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can pull some of that off still. But yeah, that was an eye opener yesterday.
Oh, that's funny. Awesome. Where were we anyway?
I got distracted. I apologize for cutting you off with like the questions about where you live, yeah, but it's just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it just is. It's amazing. There's just deep, big forests and moss, and we also got miles and miles and miles of sandy beach that essentially there's nobody on. So there's a huge landmass, and there's only, I think, around 4,500 people that live here.
No kidding.
So there's like hardly anybody here. You can drive down the highway for an hour and pass like four cars.
Is the highway paved?
Yep. We have paved roads. We have grocery stores. We have gas stations. We have hardware stores. I mean, we don't have any fast food restaurants, which is a blessing.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
But essentially, you know, anything you need, the selection might be small, but you can get things.
So you must get pretty creative when it comes to acquiring materials for aero building.
Well, you know, just like everybody else who builds arrows, I buy my stuff from Three Rivers and different wholesalers, so everything just gets here in the mail.
Okay.
Is the mailing process interesting from up there?
Well, it's a little bit slow because the mail only comes and goes three times a week with the ferry, so it's a little bit slower. But, you know, it's fine. I haven't had any issues with packages getting lost or anything like that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because in Pennsylvania they get lost all the time, so you're lucky. You're doing all right.
Yeah, well, that's due to massive amounts of people and giant warehouses, and I can only imagine.
True story.
Yeah, but no, it's been fine. The only thing we can't really get here, well, is Amazon. Amazon won't ship here, which is not really a bad thing either. But tons of other retailers will do online shipping here and stuff. So, you know, we get everything we need.
How far are you away from True Shaft? Because they're Canada too, right? I mean, I know Canada's a broad country, obviously, but...
Yeah, well, I'll tell you how far away I am from True Shaft. I could look out my window and see his house right now.
So, you know, he's pretty close.
He's my next door neighbor. Yeah.
So acquiring shafts isn't too hard. Just got to go for a little walk.
No. Yeah, I can just...
What's he charge you for shipping?
It's steep, man.
Do you have to cover it, or does he? It's a good question.
I cover it. He's cheap that way. Yeah, we joke about it all the time. He's like, I have to charge you extra for shipping.
Oh, that's all right. That's awesome.
So, yeah, so that's how we ended up with this place. Was it was for sale. I didn't know it was for sale, and I'm just fretting about getting out of down where we were, and he's like, well, why don't you buy my neighbor's property? I was like, oh, that sounds great. Do tell. So anyway, we made the connection with the owner, and a couple text messages later, we had a deal struck, and we bought the property.
That is cool. That is very cool.
Yeah.
So were you, you were building arrows at that point because you've only been there 2 years. Dang, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So are you helping him out at all too? Are you over there? Do you work with him at all, or is it just arrow building?
Just arrow building, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I may help him here and there in the future, but as of right now, we're just doing our separate things, and it's working out well. And we get to have our once a week business meeting where we get together and tell lies and, you know,
oh, that's whatever. So, I've been perusing your Instagram as we talk here, and I notice you shoot a lot of self bows too. Do you have a preferred self bow over laminated bow, or?
No, I don't know. I'm kind of drawn to the primitive stuff a little bit more. It's sort of where I got my start. So, I mean, I'm drawn to Osage and Yewood. But I do like the laminated bows too. I have a couple nice ones. I just go back and forth shooting them all. Just depends on the day, what I feel like picking up.
Oh, it's such a cool thing.
Options are nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like building. I like to build the bows too. You know, it's just, I don't do it a lot, but I do enjoy a couple hours at my Shayforce rasping and draw knife and doing all that. So
the recurve you've posted with that beaver tail grip on it, that looks awesome.
Yeah, the glass bow.
Is that a glass bow? I think it's
you're talking about the Osage bow.
Yeah,
that is an awesome bow. It's made by a guy, he goes by Art of Bow Hunting on Instagram. He's in Ontario. And we did that as a trade, and that's a real sweet bow. I really like it. He did a really nice job of it.
Good trade. That thing's beautiful. Yeah,
I sent him a dozen arrows and a U stave, and he sent me a bow. He was trying to just get a little bit of, he wanted to get them out there so people could see it. So yeah. I take lots of photos of it.
Awesome. That is cool. What's his Instagram handle again?
He goes by Art of Bow Hunting.
Okay, I'm going to go follow him right now. There he is. Shane?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, cool. How long ago did you get into traditional archery? You've been at this a while, right?
Not that long. Let's see. I first kind of got interested in it back in the mid-2000s, I guess. I had a compound, an old-timey compound, and so sort of interested in archery. I got the bug as an adult. I wasn't doing it as a kid. And then I started seeing traditional bow hunter in this grocery store, and I was reading, and I'm like, you can do all this stuff with one of those bows? Holy crap. There was one article I remember, and I think it was the Don Thomas article, where he shot a bear in the head because it was like basically about to eat him, and he just loosed the arrow, and the arrow went through its skull and killed it. And I was just like, what? This is
that possible. Was the moment.
Yeah, it really was.
The selling point.
I started reading the magazine, and it was all so foreign to me. I had no idea what any of it was. I didn't know who to talk to. You know, like in our community, there was a bit of an archery community, but I was sort of shy about it. I didn't want to sound like an idiot, so I was a little nervous to talk to people, and I'm kind of a self-learner, so anyway, I just started researching online and managed to figure out that I could probably build a bow, so I went and bought a maple board from the hardware store, and I whittled out a bow, and it survived, and I shot it, and it was pretty weak and cast and everything, but it got me started. And then that kind of got me into it. And then I took a bow building class with a fellow down on Vancouver Island called Raven Beak Nature Works. And I built a Yewood longbow with him. And I killed a deer with that bow. And then I posted the story to Track Gang. And that's how I met Wayne from True Shaft, was through that whole thing. And then he invited me up here to hunt. And we've been good friends ever since. And now we're neighbors.
That's so cool. I didn't realize True Shaft had been around that long.
Yeah, he was getting kind of started around 2015, 16 in there.
And those are spruce, right?
Yeah, Sitka spruce.
I want to try some. I saw Andy just started getting some at Addictive Archery.
Yeah, I've been teasing Andy. I'm like, there's all the shafts. How come I can't get it?
Yeah, I want to try that. I got to order a couple dozen and build them up. I want to try it. They look awesome.
That's one thing that really cracks me up about Wood Arrow guys. It's never like, I'm going to order a dozen. I'm going to order a few dozen.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, well, it saves shipping too, right?
Exactly.
The more you buy, the less shipping you pay. So you might as well.
Exactly.
It's practically saving money.
And
it
plus,
really is.
Plus, I mean, I don't know if this sounds ridiculous, but I mean, I have just as much fun building as I do shooting. So the more I get, the more building I get to do. So the more excited I get. So I might order 5 dozen and use one for the next year, but I'm having a good time building 5. Does that make sense?
Or is that, that totally makes sense.
I could be going through a little bit of withdrawals right now, actually. I haven't been able to crest or make a wood arrow for a week and a half.
It's not good. I'm waiting on some to show up, so I'm in the same boat. I mean, but we could be spending our money on worse things. I mean, you know.
I think I've mentioned cocaine once.
Hookers and blow. Yeah, I mean, it could be worse.
Yeah.
So
totally.
So
you should have told Crosby to
don't listen to that part. Yeah. Crosby's my son, Blaine. Just so.
Gotcha.
So if he's listening to this, hi, Crosby.
Is he named after Sidney Crosby?
No, he's not. It's
oh,
I don't even like everybody. Is it Crosby, Stills, and Nash or Sidney Crosby? I'm like, no. But actually, quick side story. I was working at a hockey rink because I do some HVAC work too. And we were working at our local AAA team is the Philadelphia Flyers. No, the Penguins, the Pittsburgh Penguins AAA team. And we were in their suite in all the boxes. And there's like 4 Crosby jerseys that were signed and framed. So I was taking pictures for him. But yeah, no, it's a name we stumbled on and stuck with. And like, it's funny because we stumbled on about a year before he was born. And it's funny. But yeah, he's just Crosby because he's Crosby. And he fits it. It's his name. It's perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But so...
Oh yeah.
There's our awkward silence
there's another tangent.
We always we always have to have a nice awkward silence part in every podcast also, so that's out of the way.
So the one thing I've noticed with all your arrows is you wrap the bottom of the feathers. Do you notice a noticeable benefit from doing that?
Well, I never have a feather come off. That's one thing. I don't know. I think it just sort of finishes them in a way. Like, I don't know. That's how I was taught. And so I just kept doing it.
It looks sharp.
I
call it the Stump Stalker signature myself now.
Yeah, kind of. It's
nice. Yep.
It's definitely a sharp look.
That's kind of what I do. It's kind of how I do it, you know, or why I do it too. It just sort of sets my arrows off from everybody else.
What are you wrapping it with? Or do you not share that?
Oh, it's a top secret. Yeah.
Trade secret.
Special. Yeah, and it's an exclusive material that I use that nobody else can get.
Right. Is it called string?
Yeah. it's called silk thread. I actually use silk, not cotton or polyester, for no other reason than that's what I started using, and I just keep using it.
If it works.
Because it works. It's pretty strong, and then I soak it in super glue, really thin super glue, and it just hardens right up. And I've had some come off, but it's tough to get it to come off. Like if you cut it with a knife, it'll come off. But
yeah,
once it's on there, it's pretty much on there.
Yeah, if you're doing the super glue part of it, that makes it pretty much bomb-proof.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Man, it looks sharp.
It's good. Like if you're shooting off the knuckle or something, then you don't get that quill in your hand ever.
But then you're missing out on the experience.
No, yeah, I've experienced it a few times and it's not experiencing it anymore.
We just had this conversation recently on another podcast about getting quills in your hand and that joy.
As best, I think everybody that's shot for a while probably has a few scars over their bow hand from getting a quill or two.
Yep, for sure. It happens. pardon me. I built for my friend Jamie from Ravenbeak, the one who taught me to build bows. I built arrows for him for a long time too, and he would sell arrows made with bamboo shafting. So I don't know how many of those I built for 100 dozen, maybe more, over a course of 4 years, I guess.
Wow.
So I probably made more than 100 dozen. Probably. Oh, I don't even know. I wish I kept count because, it's one of those things you look back and go, if I only kept count, then I could have an accurate number of how many arrows I've actually built. But
what do you think if you're going to guess? What are you up to?
Oh, I guess 200 dozen.
Just a couple.
Maybe.
See, you got some experience.
Just a few. Yeah, I've done it a little bit. I think I'm already up to 25 dozen this year, so that's pretty good for
March.
Yeah, what are we, you're only 3 months in, so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you had to make one combo for the rest of your life, what would it be? One feather, one cresting, one stain, one crown.
Well, I would probably do the Woodland Hunter series that I've been doing, which is like a walnut stain or a charcoal stain with a wild turkey cock feather. Probably do wild turkey hen feathers too, but the stained one, or sorry, a dyed one, and the plastic knock. They're simple, classy.
Oh yeah, those are sweet looking.
And they're, people love them. They're like, that's definitely my top selling sort of option, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it speaks to the crowd that I'm, the boyers that refer people to me too, or like, I got Corey Hawk at Organic Archery, he's referring guys to me, and then Pete Woodland from Heritage Bowworks, he refers lots of people to me as well. He's down in Vancouver Island, and you know, that sort of look goes well with those primitive style bows.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, we were discussing self bows in an episode or two ago, and Corey's name came up, and his bows, I've been following him for a while, man. His bows are absolute pure art. He makes some gorgeous looking bows.
Yep. No, they are. They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good work. And he's a stellar human too. Like, we chat off and on, and he's been super generous with referring people over to me, because he just doesn't have time to build arrows for all the demand that he has. So
yeah, he was building them for a while. I saw some of the, like, he did a lot of self-knock stuff, I saw.
Yeah, and he still does. He builds arrows for his bow packages, sort of thing.
Right, right. Yeah, you buy a bow, you get a set of arrows, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but any of the guys that go through his workshops and stuff, he just says, nope, get in touch with this guy. He'll set you up, so.
Very cool.
Self-knocks are a whole different level of patience, I have a feeling.
They're not that bad. Once you do it a few times, they're pretty straightforward, and you can get a tool called a nifty knocker, and you can slide your shaft in that, and you cut it out with a tile saw blade. That's what I use, and so it's kind of a wider kerf. It's like an 1/8 inch kerf. Cut that in, and then just sandpaper and a little bit of file work. And I can knock them out pretty fast, but again, I've done a lot of them, so.
Sorry, Chris is being very immature right now.
we get into the end in what do you call it, the innuendo? Sorry. Anyway.
Oh man, no, but that sounds awesome. I've seen that nifty knocker before. I'm trying to remember where. Maybe I was watching the Making Traditional video.
What's that like? Just like a jig that goes over it, and when you cut it, and it keeps it centered.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So you can make your cuts nice and straight. The one I have, I bought from Raptor Archery in Oregon.
Okay, yeah, yep.
Yeah, so I got that from him, and I think he kind of was sort of his design,
yeah,
I believe, but Ted Fry, yeah. So anyway, that's where I got mine, and yeah, it works good. I've had it for years.
Pardon me. How often do you do that? These days, anyways.
I don't know. I might make 10 dozen a year with self-knocks. So it's not a ton, but there is a demand for it.
Oh, so this is like it's like a hacksaw blade that goes in your, right? Am I right with that? Is it like a...
It goes in a hacksaw frame, but it's a...
Yeah, it's a circular blade, right?
Cutting tile.
Ah, okay, okay. Yeah, it looks like it's circular.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I'm afraid of doing self knocks because I'm such a good shot that I shoot off my knocks all the time.
Well, yeah, everybody does that.
No,
I know, it smelled funny. A little bit.
What's that? Did that sound like a lie?
That sentence smelled.
Oh man, this looks cool. Oh, you know, this is the problem with archery. It's like, you get so deep and you're like, okay, I'm going to make my own arrows. You start with carbon. Then you're like, well, I'm going to step it up. I'm going to make my own wood arrows. And then you buy a crest. And you're like, well, I'm going to start cresting my wood arrows. And now I'm like, well, maybe I should just start doing self-knocks. It just gets deeper and deeper. Is there an end? I mean, do we reach an end?
No, you don't, because then you start going to, well, I'm going to make primitive shoot shafts.
Yeah.
Or arrows, and you do that, then you're like, huh, maybe I'll learn to make my own arrowheads and start flint knapping.
Yeah, it's stone points, and then and I want to make my own self bow. Yeah, there's clearly no end. I feel bad for my family.
Well, then you're using an atlatl.
What was that one, Blake?
Then you start doing leather work and building your own quivers and arm guards and tabs. And
then you guys start trapping beavers to make handles, to make grips. Yeah.
Yep. You start playing around with bow drill sets so you can make a friction fire. Because
that's bows, too.
Yeah, bows. It's primitive. And
I love it.
Man, yeah, you get into this stuff and it's just one thing after another. You're like, I'm good for hobbies for the rest of my life because there's so much here that I can just keep messing around with.
Yeah, and everything else goes to the wayside. It's funny. All my old things that I like to do just kind of went away for the last 8 years. Yeah. I don't do anything else.
Yep.
Which is okay.
I've tried to get new hobbies and they just get destroyed.
It cuts into your archery time. You don't want to do that.
I'll get a new hobby in the wintertime when I can't shoot that often.
Right.
And then springtime comes and it's just like, oh, that was a waste of money.
And then besides all that, like you still got to find time to shoot. Like, so you're making your bows, your arrows, your strings and all that crap. And then you're like, well, I still got to have time to shoot. So that sucks up any other time you had. So.
Yeah. That's the thing that suffers for me is I don't shoot that often. Pardon me. Not for not wanting to. I just don't make time for it.
Yeah, that's where I'm careful. I don't want to get into too much because I shoot too much. That can be a good thing. Overshooting's not a good thing.
No, it's true. Yeah. I do have a target just outside the door of my shop here, so I definitely do get out and shoot some, but
awesome.
Not like I used to, right? When my daughter was little, I'd take her out in the woods and I'd just go stump shooting for 2 hours and she'd be on my back in a backpack, Becca Garris style, or I'd just let her walk and I'd shoot stumps and we'd just be out there for hours in the bush. So I shot a lot more then.
Super cool.
Yeah. It's the best way for a kid to grow up right there.
I made a mental note. I know that.
Yeah.
I was just scrolling through your Instagram again, and I just saw that you take a Sharpie to the side of your quills. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that was something that Wayne tipped me off to. He's like, why don't you try doing that and get rid of that white line? So I've been doing that ever since, too. And
that's cool.
It just kind of, doesn't take very much time, and it really looks kind of sharp, so.
Yeah, that white is a little, it makes sense. It's perfect.
It's just kind of glaring once you see them with the Sharpie done on the quill. When they're white, they really stand out.
Yeah, I definitely have that issue on all my arrows.
It's funny because I was scrolling through looking at all the arrows and various things, and then all of a sudden I went by that one and I'm like, huh, I don't see a white quill anywhere here. It's such a subtle difference.
I've been doing it for a couple of years now, I guess.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you have any cool plans this year?
Yeah, we're putting an addition on our cabin, so that's my big plan for the year. I'm going to have to break ground on that sometime soon. But, beyond that, just going to be here and do some fishing and do some hunting and just use Mother Nature as a grocery store and put up as much food as we can.
Do you get in steelhead up there?
Yeah, there's steelhead here. Yeah, for sure. They're non-retention, so I don't do a lot of catch and release fishing, so yeah. I don't put a lot of effort towards it.
What are you going for? Is it just trout or are you getting in the ocean?
Salmon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got lots of salmon up here, so Chinook, or king salmon and coho and pink. Those are the three main ones up here.
So a lot like Alaska. Do you get into to grayling and things like that?
No, we just have cutthroat trout here.
Okay, okay.
There's Dolly Varden as well and some kokanee, but the Dolly Vardens are non-retention because they're kind of sort of rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just camping out for the week last week at a lake, and the trout fishing was pretty good, so we cooked quite a few of those over the fire.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you fishing with fly gear or spinning gear?
Mostly spinning gear, okay. Yeah. I have fly gear, but yeah. Again, it's all about putting food in the freezer, so
yes, yeah.
It's kind of, fishing's fun, but it's also just about, efficiency, so I mostly fish with gear now.
No, that makes sense, yeah. Yeah, our in Pennsylvania, everything we have is stocked. I shouldn't say that. We do have brookies that I think our state fish is actually brook trout, and they're in all the little, we have little runs all over the place that feed bigger creeks and rivers, and they're loaded with 4 to 7 inch brook trout. That's kind of fun. I have a 6 foot, 3 weight or 2 weight that I use for those, and it's fun. But yeah, we don't. Yep. Everything else is stocked. It's kind of a bummer. I'd love to live in a place like that where it's a natural reoccurring population.
Yeah, all the
population.
Fish up here are
natives.
Pretty much wild. There's not really any. There's one fish hatchery for salmon that I know of. I don't think there's any others. Oh, there might be one more. But yeah, it's not they're not these big factory hatcheries.
Yeah.
Just small little community run ones.
Yeah.
And those are just for salmon. There's no trout hatcheries. So all the trout are all wild stock.
Oh, that's cool. And cutthroats are the coolest, aren't they? They're so cool to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they just smash. They're so aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we fished them last year. My friend and I went to this slow kind of moving bit of water where it comes out of the lake before it kind of drops into the main channel of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And we were throwing these mouse flies and stripping them across this water, and the cutthroat were smashing them. It was like fishing topwater bass.
The mouse hatch.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Yep. Yep. That's awesome. Oh, man, that's cool. I've never done that. Yeah. I've done it. I've done big deer hair bugs for bass and stuff, and it's just amazing. But I always wanted to do the mouse hatch for trout. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. So, and then, we got... we have the biggest river in Haida Gwaii is the mouth of it is just about 2 kilometers from our house. So mm-hmm. There's the pink salmon run is strong this year. It's every other year. So we can fish pink salmon just right in front of our house. And the coho, we can fish down at the mouth of the river for them in kind of late September. So
how's the access for you up there for hunting and fishing? Is it tough to find spots, or is it pretty easy?
It's easy. You can go anywhere. I got forest in behind my house. I can hunt back there. I got, jump in the truck and drive.
Is it public or private?
It's all public land.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, I'd say probably 95% of the landmass here is public land. There's lots that's sort of in conservancies and things, but yeah. Pretty much all of them are open to hunting as well because the deer are invasive and they're really upsetting the natural balance that was here before the deer were introduced.
Right.
About 100 years ago.
Right.
So it's, kind of there is some weapon restrictions in certain places at certain times of the year, like when the tourists are here in the one park, they don't allow firearm hunting, but you can bow hunt.
That doesn't affect you.
Nope. I rifle hunt as well though too.
Yeah.
Again, it's for just stacking food in the freezer. So.
Yeah, saying that's your grocery store, so that makes sense. You gotta.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. That's awesome.
Now, do you live in one of those places that's weirdly, as far as weather goes, it's just kind of consistent year round?
Yeah. We had a cold snap this winter where we got, I think the lowest was minus 10 or 12 Celsius, which is pretty cold for up here.
Oh, yeah.
We actually had cold weather through all of January, the end of December and all of January. We had snow on the ground and everything was frozen. It was quite nice. It's unusual because usually it rains here a lot. You know, we're in the temperate Northwest, so yeah, we had that cold weather, and it was quite lovely because we're living in this small cabin, and if it was raining every day for weeks on end, we might have got cabin fever, but we were able to get outside lots and not get soaking wet and everything, so it was a blessing this year. But that's generally cool. Yeah, the winter's not super cold. It usually, you know, we're kind of like lows of zero, highs of five for kind of December, January, February, and now it's starting to warm up. Of course, that's Celsius, not Fahrenheit, but it's starting to get a little bit warmer now, and the days are getting a lot longer quickly. So,
Are your summers mild? Not too hot?
Yeah, they're mild, totally. Like, if you get above 25 Celsius here, the locals are freaking out. They're like, ah, the place is burning up.
is there room for one more?
Yeah, there's lots of
room. Any cabins for sale? Because I hate summer. It's too hot.
Property two doors down is for sale right now. They're jump on it.
Yeah, that everything, I mean, obviously the pictures I like of everything I see, but man, the weather sounds perfect. I'm in.
I forgot who I was talking to. I think he was one of the TradQuest guys. And he was describing the weather to me on, like, the coast. And it's just wild. It's just, like, 60 year-round, he was saying.
I could handle that perfectly. I'd be very pleased with that.
It rains a lot, but it's just, that's wild to me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, zero, you said averages, what was it, five, or zero to five, right, during the winter?
Yeah.
And that's, like, 32 to 40 probably in Fahrenheit, so that's I could live with that year-round if I had to.
Yeah, well, I can. This winter I didn't because of it was so cold, but last winter I was out stump shooting all winter, like the stumps never really froze because it didn't get that cold, so, you know, I can go shooting outside year-round, and the beauty thing is there's no bugs in the winter, so that's kind of nice too.
Oh yeah, that was always the funniest thing about, like, the first stumping adventure after winter is you have to make a judgment call on how rotten the stump is for the secondary call of how frozen it may still be.
Yeah. For sure.
And then around here we like to our rocks don't know what they are occasionally. And you shoot a moss-covered stump, and then the next thing you know, it wasn't a stump. And that's a really unfortunate thing to do.
That's hard on wood arrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like building these hardwood shoot shafts out of a material called ocean spray that grows down. It doesn't grow here, but it grows all over Vancouver Island. And I shot one of those into a big rock. There's a video of it on my YouTube, and it's crazy. That thing hits that rock. And I was shooting it out of a 58-pound Osage self-bow. And that thing just cooks when you, like, it's super fast. It's got reflex in it. And anyway, that arrow just smoked that rock, and it was totally fine. It didn't blow up or anything.
That's super cool.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
How's that? Oh, sorry, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was watching Making Traditional. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, other than his YouTube channel. But he was making shafts out of that ocean spray stuff, and it was pretty cool.
How's that stuff in comparison to, like, Sitka spruce or Doug fir? Is it, like, weight-wise?
Oh, they're generally really heavy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty easy to build a 700-grain arrow out of that with a 125 point on them.
Oh, wow.
They're heavy, man.
It's got some mass.
I've had arrows that are, I've had them over 900.
Whoo!
Yeah, so they're fun. They're not, like it's not something I could go to as a full-time thing just because they're so time-consuming.
Yeah.
And they're hard to match because, well, just I don't even really try to match. I just go, well, this is cool, and I shoot it, and if it flies well, then that's great, and if not, that's fine, too. It doesn't matter. It's the process. It's like building a bow. You're taking this raw material and turning it into an arrow. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mother Nature doesn't seem to care about your standards.
No.
No. No. I mean, this is how humans fed themselves for centuries, right? Was turning natural things into weapons, and I just really get off on that. I think it's so cool.
It is. Yeah. It is cool. That is awesome.
Now, when you when you take a material like that, is the overall like process of going from natural material to arrow, as far as once you have the shaft, like, you know, made, similar as far as finishing it and whatnot?
It's kind of way different. So yeah, it's not the same. Well, I'll just give you the rundown on how I do that. So yeah, you harvest the shoot, you do a bit of green straightening to it because that makes it easier in the long run.
Yep.
And then you bundle them up and just leave them for a couple months to dry, and then take that, you know, select one and you scrape the bark off. I use a cabinet scraper to do that, and then kind of take, you end up with little pin knots and things, so you kind of rough those up with a rasp, clean them up, make the shaft as clean as possible. Sometimes I reduce the diameter a bit on the point end with a little thumb plane.
Okay, yep.
And then straightening is with alcohol burner, so you need heat to straighten these ones, whereas you use just pressure to do the other soft, like softwood shafts.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then that's the process of the time-consuming process is getting them straight, and that's the challenge in it, is trying to get them straight. So you just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, working it, put it aside for a while, go back to it. So anyway, then I get them straight, cut a self-knock in it, I finish it with 120, then 220 grit paper, usually do a little painting on it, and then I put some coats of tung oil on that, and then I fletch them, and then I wrap everything with sinew that needs wrapping, and they're done.
That's not too bad. Well, I mean, the second half. The first half sounds a little time-consuming.
Yeah, it's time-consuming, but it's a labor of love, right? You're not doing it to crank them out for customers. You're doing it just because it's just the thing that you enjoy doing.
Yeah,
I've been saying that phrase a lot lately because since I've been getting into wood arrows quite a bit, I have a few other friends that are thinking about it, and I'm like, it's a labor of love. Because you're going to break them. There's no way around it. And I have 3 hours into cresting both sets of arrows I just made.
Yep.
And I know when the first one breaks, it's going to be painful.
Yeah, it hurts a little.
Yeah,
totally worth it.
I would rather break an arrow than lose one and not be able to find it. That drives me crazy when I leave an arrow in the woods.
Oh, that hurts.
It's like, I don't know, doesn't even bother me that I don't have the arrow. It's like this closure thing. I need to find it.
It's totally. I've only. Let's see. It was 2018 was the last time I like seriously shot wood arrows, and it was amazing how much time I put into looking for them versus a carbon.
Oh yeah.
And when you.
Oh yeah.
And the funny thing is when you compare, you know, price of that arrow versus price of a carbon, you know, per shaft, it's slightly cheaper for a wood arrow probably.
But the time.
And, yeah.
But the time you have into it.
But I looked so hard. I don't know if I ever left one in the woods.
No.
It was not an option.
Mm-hmm.
Who did an archaeological dig on Target 19? Oh, that was Schaefer. He lost his arrow.
Yeah. I've definitely left my share in the woods. I have to admit.
It happens.
That's too far. Yeah. It's a labor of love.
Yep. But you just lose them and break them and you build more, and yeah.
I was just, Josh just messaged me from Wild Fletching. I was hoping he would have a question for you, but he's like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. So I was a bit of a letdown. Way to go, Josh.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Josh has been a good dude for me too. His product is incredible, and I use them a lot. All my wild turkey feathers come from Josh, and I've been collecting wild turkey feathers for years. I've connected with a couple of guys, and there's one guy in Ontario who he just loves it. He's like, oh yeah, I talked to all my friends. We all hunt turkeys, and I'm going to send you a huge box this year. And he just gets all excited about it. I think he likes collecting feathers as much as he likes hunting turkeys. And, he sent me like 700 something feathers last year.
Wow.
So I just flip those right down to Josh, and he does his thing and sends them back to me, and oh, it's awesome.
Were they primaries? Like 700 primaries? Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Like, it was crazy. He was just, I don't know if he's got in a hunting club or what, but anyway, he was just, yeah, anybody he saw that he knew hunted turkeys. Oh, can you save me the primaries? I got a guy who wants them. And
that's awesome. Cool. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, he messaged me a couple weeks ago. You still want feathers? Like, yeah, man, totally.
Always.
I'll never say no.
Yeah, them up. Yeah.
I really like when, you know, obviously some people don't know, and that's totally fine. I've been, like, given a bag of feathers before, and it was, like, all tail feathers. And I'm like,
oh,
well,
yeah.
I appreciate the offer, but these will make a nice trinket or something. And that's about it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because the tail feathers are so pretty.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be
they can
sweet.
Make okay fletchings. I've seen arrows with tail feather fletchings, but I've never tried it myself.
They seem like they'd be very, very soft.
Yeah, they are soft, and they don't have as stiff a quill for glue up and all that.
Yeah, oh man, but, oh man. Turkey feathers are awesome, natural turkey feathers.
Yeah, they just are. I'm so happy that Josh is doing what he does. Like, I would process my own before, and it's not horrible, but yeah, it's definitely time-consuming, and trying to get the quill uniform is a bit of a...
Yeah, exactly, right? I know I used to do all my own, too, before I met Josh. It's much simpler.
Yep. He's organized, and he's got, you can just crank them out. And...
I don't remember the last time I made a set of arrows without his feathers, actually. Unless if I was, like, in a pinch.
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm leaning to, is getting rid of the... You know, the conventional barred feathers, the dyed ones, I have some still, but once they're done, I'm not buying more. I'm just going to do all wild turkey as my off-color cock feather, whatever.
It's a better look, I think.
I think so.
I like that.
Some brands do a better job than others when it comes to fake barred feathers, but nothing comes close to a natural turkey feather.
Mm-hmm.
I know... Yeah. My dad, I think I've made like one set of arrows with fake barred feathers, and oh man, I got a load of crap from my dad for doing it.
Yep. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's ethically too, you know, they're not coming from these feedlot turkeys and that whole part too. I like the fact that they're wild roaming birds until they have one bad day and then it's utilizing a waste resource. So it's,
exactly.
It just sits with me well.
Are there turkeys up there? Did we cover this already? Are there turkeys there?
I don't know if we've gotten any of the turkeys. No turkeys?
No turkeys, no.
Bummer.
How far would you have to travel to get two turkeys?
Oh, geez. 3 days.
Should we box them up and ship them to you, and then you could stock them in up there and see if you can get a reoccurring population?
Yeah, I don't know how well they do. I think
Pennsylvania.
Well, they like people have them as pet turkeys here, so they live. But I think it would be kind of frowned upon if I introduced turkeys up here.
We keep it a secret. We'll cut this part out if you want.
We have tons of Canada geese though. They're all over the place, so you get that option.
Well, that's cool.
Bigger fowl. Yeah.
It'd be interesting to go after with a bow too. They'd be different.
I've thought about trying it. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, they hang out at all the golf courses and stuff around me. Might not go over well with the golfers.
They're usually right on Wayne's lawn right next door here. I come out of my arrow shop and they're just right there on its lawn. Like a 20-yard shot.
There you go.
I thought, well, his wife might not be very impressed if I missed the goose and hit the house, so maybe I should that way.
See, those are decisions right there.
He would
think
it's cool, and then he'd say, now you can fix my siding. And then I better not do that.
So besides blacktails. What else do you is there any other hunting opportunities that you're getting after?
Well, there is elk up here. They're
oh, that's cool.
Another introduced species, mm-hmm. and they're over the counter tags. Pardon me, but they're really hard to get at where they live. They're in this kind of deep muskeggy area with no roads or not many roads.
Yeah.
So I haven't ventured off for those yet, but I'm sure at some point I'll try to go find them anyway.
Oh, that'd be
to
cool.
Locate them if nothing else.
So they're in like the thick stuff, like Roosevelt's.
Oh yeah, they're. I think they're Rocky Mountains, which is the weirdest thing. Why they would transplant Rocky Mountains to this area? But I could be wrong in that. I'm not 100% sure. I've looked into it a little bit.
Well, I can tell you when you said you had elk, we were both very, very surprised.
Yeah, exactly. I think both of our faces were like, wow, cool, you know?
Yeah. And then, there's black bears, but they're a limited entry or a draw tag.
Yeah.
Because they're almost like their own, they're not really their own species, but they're, anyway, it's just a controlled hunt because it would be easy to take too many. They're kind of a docile bear.
Okay.
Now, is that baiting or spot and stalk type of stuff for the bear?
It'd be all spot and stalk. Yeah, we don't do baiting bears in BC.
Very cool. Now, what about like blacktails? Is that do you get up in a tree or just kind of cruise around?
It's mostly spot and stalk or calling. Mostly calling, actually. That's especially for bow hunting in the rut. The does come into that squeal call, like the fawn distress call. And if she's got a buck with her, he comes right in with her, and it's pretty exciting. You can get lots of close encounters with them, like 10 yards.
Wow, that sounds cool. That's a different... Yeah, I mean, like, we're mainly tree stand hunters for the most part. That sounds, I bet you hunting's a lot of fun up there.
Yeah. There's not really much point getting in a tree because the blacktails, they don't pattern like your whitetail does.
Yeah.
They just kind of roam and there's trails, but you could sit on one trail for a week and not see a deer. And then,
that sounds a lot like Vermont whitetails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly my all day sits sound really boring.
Yeah, it sounds kind of boring to me too.
Yeah, I've mentioned it a few times on here. I'd be afraid to go hunt certain things because I feel like, I mean, I like hunting whitetails, don't get me wrong, but I feel like once you get the taste of something else, that's a little more action-y, action-filled.
Action-packed.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Not boring.
Yep.
I'm not saying in a tree.
I'm not saying whitetails are boring. I mean, up here it's a little monotonous. But
yeah, that gets exciting. I like it. I'm not gonna complain. I like what we got going. I just, we get a little bit of. I mean, like our spring turkey is a lot of fun because it's a lot of walking around and calling and stuff. And so I guess you get a good mix here. But man, that's cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. Have you got after bears yet, or is that too hard to draw?
Yeah, it's almost impossible to draw. I'll keep putting in for it, but they only allow 4 tags.
Oh wow!
On the whole island, only 4 tags.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know how many people put in for it. 400 or so. Like, so the odds are pretty slim, but.
So there's
keep trying.
There's a good amount of hunters up there then.
Well, pretty much everybody that lives here is a hunter.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
I mean, because it's just, half of the population is First Nations, the Haida First Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And probably about half, I'd say about half the population is Haida, and then the other half is non-Haida. And, most of the people that are here full-time, it's part of her lifestyle of, it might not be all people eat, but almost everybody they go and get a couple of deer anyway and lots of fish. And we're trying to, we'd like to stay out of the grocery store as much as possible. So we're trying to eat as much wild protein as we can. And that's just something that we just strive towards all the time.
Yeah.
How successful we'll be, I don't know, but that's the goal anyway.
I like it. That sounds cool. That sounds really
super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it sounds like you live in heaven.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's not without its challenges, for sure, living so remote. It's not not all sunshine and rainbows, but...
The cost of living's a little bit rough at times. With gas and things like that.
Yeah, gas is a bit higher, but although right now I think our gas is about the same price as it is everywhere else in the province, which is pretty staggering because it just is really expensive right now. And groceries are more expensive for sure. And building supplies, like all that stuff is, but then property costs less and most of the jobs are pretty well paying if you're working and stuff, so.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So it all balances out. I mean, just being a human, living in the modern world, everything costs a lot,
no
matter what you do.
Yeah, I imagine that the atmosphere is a little different for people up there because you kind of probably rely on each other a little more and stuff like that, being remote.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
You have a...
People... Yeah, people really support each other.
That's cool.
As far as, you know, if somebody's hungry, it's pretty easy to get food or, you know, if somebody has... some adversity in their life, the community comes together and helps everybody out. So
that's awesome. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Very cool. Well,
so
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, not to change the topic too much, but I happen to be playing with an A standard in my hand right now. And, you being a wood arrow shooter, primarily, I was curious what your go-to glue on heads were.
Good question.
See, well, I've had some grizzlies glued on my arrows for the past couple of years that haven't actually left my quiver because I haven't gone out bow hunting very much in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I like grizzlies. I just got some eclipse heads recently, and I have a bit of a sharpening problem. I'm not very good at it, so it's something I'm always struggling to get better with. And anyway, I put some of those... I used my Lansky system on those Eclipse, and I've never been able to get heads so sharp so easy before.
Yeah, that's what I use.
So I'm really impressed with those Eclipse heads.
Yeah, and the Lansky setup's pretty nice, man. That you can, I mean, it's hard. I'm an idiot, and it's hard for me to screw that up.
Yeah, for sure. So I, same. Like, it just, if you're trying to do it on a stone or with a file, trying to keep the same angle, like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
brain
me.
Doesn't do that very well.
Yeah, that's so, me. Schaefer's picking on me for that. He told me he can do it because he stands up to pee. It's pretty much what he told me. So, so screw him, all right?
This was after the guest had mentioned that, you know, shooting split finger was also...
Yeah.
It was just a stockpile of...
Because I shoot 3-under, so I just took some abuse. It was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I took some abuse, so whatever.
See, my favorite part about that type of stuff on this podcast, though, is it depends on the guests. Because if they shoot split or 3-under, then I'm taking it.
Schaefer's taking it, yep.
Yep.
It switches off. And are you 3-under or are you split guy? You're split guy, aren't you?
No, I'm 3-under.
Yeah, take that, Schaefer.
Then the tides have turned.
Yes. Remember yesterday? Uh-huh.
That's too funny.
So that just says, Blaine, we're way more accurate, correct?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Oh, man,
it's too good. The best part is they both work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right.
Everybody can have their thing, and it's the Ford, Chevy, Dodge thing, right?
Yes. Exactly. Toyota's rule.
Better than your bow. But really, they do all the same thing.
Yeah,
arrows downrange. So
it just gives us something to beat on each other over. It's beautiful.
Yep. Last when we were camping, I brought my daughter's little Yewood longbow, and then we had the just some department store kind of bow with, I don't know, plasticky kind of, I don't even know what it is. Anyway, it's just one of those sets you buy for a kid, and then. One of the ladies that was there, she made a little bow out of an alder twig for the kids. And so we had all three of those shooting at the same time, and it was pretty fun to see the difference. The alder twig one yeah, it didn't have any cast at all. And then the other two were popping arrows pretty good. But they all shot an arrow down range. Some are just more efficient than others.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's hard to beat.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Yeah, and then with back to broadheads again, I have Zwickies and I have Woodsmans and Ace, and you know, I have kind of a smattering of everything for inventory for my customers and
myself. That makes sense. And
I have a bunch of different ones, so just depends on what the customers want and what's available. Because last fall there was no broadheads, I couldn't get anything hardly.
Yes,
so I just sort of was scrounging for whatever I could find that was available.
Yeah, I was having issues. A couple months before our season, I couldn't find aces, and I needed to order. I changed from 125s to 160s, and it took me a minute to find some. I was getting nervous. I even called Bob Mayo at Standard, and he's like, yeah, I don't have any to sell. I was like, no. I got nervous.
Yep.
But
that was not the news I wanted to hear, Bob.
That's not what I want. Yeah, exactly. But I ended up, I think I found some, I think actually Three Rivers had some still in stock, so I ended up ordering from them, which worked out really well. But thankfully things are kind of mellowing out with the availability. Hopefully it stays that way.
Things are getting to be back in stock. And yeah, I tend to carry a lot of Zwicky Eskimos. That's probably the most popular head that I sell to my customers. Just price point wise, it's accessible for most people, and they're solid. They've been doing it for years, so
they clearly work.
They clearly work, and then they just go up in price from there, and it just depends what you want, what you want the end of your arrow to look like and all that.
That is such a true statement.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of customers and things like that, where do people find you to order arrows? How's your process work? Like, what's if somebody wants to get a set of arrows, what do they do? How they contact you?
Well, my website, stumpstalker.ca, or you can get me on Instagram and just send me a DM there. I do a lot of orders through there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have a pretty simple process as far as people just tell me what they want. We discuss it. I put them on my list. And then when I get to the build, I collect payment, and it's pretty straightforward.
Walk across the street, grab the shafts.
Yep, that's it.
Do they have choices in shafts, or are you pretty much just Sitka spruce?
I just use Sitka spruce now. Yeah,
very cool. Yeah,
I have used Sherwood in the past.
Yeah,
and they make excellent shafts as well. It's just for me to bring them up from Oregon. It's the shipping's too expensive and the exchange, and it's cost prohibitive. It's too bad because I like Carson and I like supporting his product, but it just doesn't make sense for me. So
yeah, I get that.
I can't do it. But
what's your turnaround right now? Like, how far out are you for a customer?
6-8 weeks or so.
Well, it ain't too bad.
Sooner. No, that's great.
Yeah, it depends on. Yeah, it depends how big my list is and how much time I'm putting into it. I mean, it's not something. If I was just working on arrows every day and never quit, then yeah, I'd get them out way faster. But I'm also homeschooling my daughter and working on our house and fishing and camping and living the lifestyle. So,
Do you pretty much do one set at a time, or is it, you know, do you have a little bit of a, I don't want to say a factory, but trying to think of the best term here, quite a setup so you can do multiple dozen.
Oh yeah. I try not to get more than two dozen going at a time, just to keep myself from getting all confused of what's what. But yeah, I tend to, you know, I'll have some that are in the finishing stage, and I'll have others that I'm fletching, and so I rotate through like that way. Because
mm-hmm.
otherwise, yeah, if you just do one at a time, it takes, you know, you end up with, you dip them in the finish, and they got to sit there for 12 hours or more and dry before you can put more finish on. So it's a lot of downtime there just waiting for that to dry.
Yeah. I was thinking the next set I was going to make, I was going to try to make two dozen at the same time for that exact reason. Smooth out the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do a free dip, and then I have a gutter system that collects my finish and runs it back into the dip tube.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got to come up with something like that.
It's simple. Go to the hardware store and buy yourself a chunk of... I'm not using that now because I wasn't able to purchase any, but I had some made up at the hardware store. They have a sheet metal brake there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just buy yourself a 6-foot piece of aluminum gutter and rig up a 2x4 frame and hang your shafts above, and everything drips back down, and then you're not wasting so much finish.
Yeah, I need to do something like that because currently my hanging setup is really just kind of rigged. And I don't have anything permanent. And now that I'm permanently doing this, I need to make it better.
Yeah. I don't know how much I would waste. It's, I have a nail I do it in my basement, and mm-hmm. I have open floor joists. So I have a nail that I hang the arrow on until it goes to a decent drip. And then I move it over to my rack, which, so I'm only getting that, you know, final drip off versus full run. So that's better, but it's still a little wasteful.
Yeah, and that stuff gets expensive.
Straight through. I don't even really hang mine. I kind of hold it over the hole for 10 seconds after I dip it, and then it goes up to the spot on where it hangs
mm-hmm.
and finishes its drip. Then I can dip 12 arrows in like 5 minutes. It's pretty fast.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Now, do you find it stays fairly clean running through your system back into the dip tube?
Oh, yeah, totally. The finish is fine, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I do. When I do a walnut stain, the stain I use, it tends to drip some of the solids out of the stain into the finish, so I don't let those ones drip off as long, and I just put a... shop towel or something down to capture that and just get rid of it.
Gotcha.
Because otherwise my finish is going to get darker, but it's still, the stuff's already kind of yellow. It kind of already yellows the wood a little bit. So it's not really the end of the world, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's pretty good. If I was using a purely clear finish, then it might be an issue, but oil-based finishes, they do yellow a little bit. So,
yeah.
I really like the way a oil-based finish looks on like a natural wood arrow. No stain or anything. It brings out a really nice yellowish tint to the grain versus like a clear finish. I've noticed that on the last few I've made.
Yeah. Pardon me. Sika spruce especially, it's a really white one. Pardon me. It's not like, Doug Fir's got that nice contrast between the early wood, late wood, and it's just a little bit oranger, but Sitka spruce is pretty much white. So to put it through a clear, water-based clear, I think it looks better when it's done with a little bit of that yellowing.
Oh, I could see that.
Oil base, yeah. Just gives it a little bit more character, I guess.
I never actually thought that through until the set of arrows I made for my wife was the first set of water-based clear that I did, and it was just over the plain shaft, and then I compared them to some I did with, like, Daly's Profin, and I was like, wow, I guess that does yellow a little bit.
Yeah. I also found that water-based finishes do target burn a lot more than the oil-based doesn't seem to at all, and I think it just the heat of the arrow going into the foam, it just kind of melts it a little bit or whatever, you know, it just heats it up enough that it grabs on, and then I think it makes the finish soft or something. It's really weird, but it can stick a lot, so I went to a oil base.
I'm noticing that
arrow cleaner.
I'm using water-based, and I'm noticing, like I shoot, like, all winter, I shoot indoors, and I'm shooting, like, a layered foam target, and then when I get outside, I'm shooting 3D, foam targets, and now I'm noticing it that I get outside. Like, when it inside, like, if you just kind of, how can I say this without sounding terrible? If you take your hand and rub it down the shaft, you can get all that crap. I just said screw it, I'm gonna go with it. So, but I'm taking it like if.
Yeah.
Oh hell! All right. Anyway,
what you can't see, Blaine, is the hand motions I'm making.
Yeah.
So
I can see it in my head.
All right. So you got the mental picture. You can get all that foam stuff off the target, but when I'm shooting outside into actual like foam 3D targets, it gets on there and it's not coming off. So I'm noticing that more with my water based, and I'm thinking, maybe I should be trying oil based, but I'm trying to avoid fumes also because I'm doing them in my basement. I don't want to freak my wife out.
Yeah, well, that's another issue too. Yeah, and I had the same when I first kind of was starting out, and I went to this oil base and I was doing it in the house, and yeah, it definitely smells.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not horrible, it doesn't, I do it in my little shop here and it's not that bad, but if you're doing it in your house, it definitely will drift around and you'll get the smell inside. And
yeah, then I'll get yelled at.
So. Yeah, I made three dozen daily Profen arrows in my apartment. It was a fun week.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
My wife is a very understanding lady.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to do it somewhere where it can be outside for even the first hour after they've been dipped. And once it tacks up a bit, then it's not so bad. But that first, when they're off gassing and drying, can be pretty powerful.
Yeah. I will say the one water-based finish I have found not to do that is True North, and I don't know what his recipe is he has come up with, but it seems to avoid most of those issues.
Oh, good.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the chemical makeup of it, but I will give True North a shout out when it comes to that. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's good to know. Yeah, I haven't used any of his finishes before, so. I use some of the paint, but
yeah, I want to, I've been really wanting to try that new, Thunderbird just came out with a water-based, aero finish. That was another one I was thinking about trying.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Cause I know they had made some awesome bow finishes. So
yeah, well, I'm using Minwax wipe on poly.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I've been using from, well, not from day one, but I've been using it for probably 5 years now, and I can get it at the hardware store here, so that makes it very nice.
And it's bomb-proof.
And sometimes, and it just works, and it's not expensive, and I can just get it when I need it. If they don't have any in stock, they can order it in for me, and it'll be here in a couple weeks sort of thing. So
yeah,
it just makes my life easier.
Are you thinning it a little bit?
Nope. No, it's pretty thin as it is.
Yeah, I like I really like that gloss finish you get off that stuff. I mean, it's a glass. I love it.
Yeah. I do three coats through my dip tube, and the arrows are super slick after they're done. And
yes, yeah, I love it. You can't beat that stuff. It's awesome.
Do you happen to weigh it? Like, do you know how much
prior to
you're
you
gaining
mean?
Per? Well, yeah. Just like, do you know how much weight you're gaining over the three dips?
You mean from a bare shaft on?
I've never checked.
No.
It's probably I don't know, 5 grains maybe. I have no idea. I'm not that technical. I don't.
I've been told I get a little too nerdy with it sometimes.
Dork.
Yeah. I don't. I barely ever weigh anything. I weigh some of the primitive shafts just because I like the giggle factor of like, well, this thing's 800 grains. But
as
far as my regular arrows go, I might weigh them once in a while. And as long as they're over 500 with
good
my point weight, and they don't all have to be within 2 grains of each other. It doesn't overly matter to me.
That's one of the funniest things, because I don't care that much, but like, I'm intrigued at the same time. And I also, I'm a mechanic, and I have all my mechanic tools in my basement, because my new job I started a little over a year ago, I don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
So I have a set of dial calipers, and Chris and I were talking one day, and he was saying how he does, you know, a dip from both a knock and point end to even it out a little bit more.
Yep.
So the first set I made, I dipped 3 times all knock end first. So yeah. I got my dial calipers out and measured it from, you know, the knock end and then the point end, and it was like 10 thousandths difference. So, you know, not anything noticeable. So the next set of arrows I did 1 point dip and then 2 knock dips, and that dropped it down to 5 thousandths difference. So there's a little merit there, if you're wondering.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I normally do my first dip, so the knock end goes down. That's my first dip, and then my second 2 dips I do, I glue the knock on the shaft, and then I dip down to the plastic knock. And that way the knock under the knock is covered with one coat of finish, and then the knock's glued on top, and so that's going to keep the water out.
What knocks?
Much every,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so that just pretty much gives a good waterproof coating to everything. And then before I put the point on, I just rough up the point taper with some sandpaper, but I don't go all the way back. So, again, any exposed wood is going to be covered in finish.
Yeah, that sounds like a similar process. I actually... After I'm done doing all my staining and clear coats, I actually scrape for the knock end. Do you have a certain knock you like to stick with, or do you use a little bit of everything?
I'm mostly using those AAE knocks now.
Yeah.
What are they called? I don't even remember what they're called. I was using the Marco knocks forever, but then they kind of, I guess they stopped doing it. So now I'm using those ones. And, Plastinoc.
Yeah, called.
And they're
yep.
They were great. I like them. They look good. At first I was like, you know, every time something changes, like, oh, I don't really know if I like those, but I do really like them. So
it seems like
that's essentially all I'm using.
I wish I could find a knock that came in a bunch of different colors, because it seems like it's hard to find. Like, they're all like 5 colors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Marco had more colors. Like, they had a green and a blue, and they had that ruby red and black and white and yellow and orange. So they had a few more colors, but yeah, I agree with you. Be nice to have a few more options.
Yeah, someday I'll find something.
I'm mostly using black, red, and white.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get away with, like, especially if you're like, oh, with crowns, you can get away with the 3 of those, or if you're not even doing a crown, you're just and that's something I like about your arrows, is sometimes you'll just crest and you won't crown dip anything, and it just has a classy look to it, if that makes sense.
I'm Mr. Boring. I just use a white knock on everything. It just looks good on everything, in my opinion. Yeah.
I've been changed up and a little bit.
It shows up nice in the air too, which is the other big reason I like the white knock.
I did crown a set in black with red and white feathers, and I used a black knock, and man, it looked sharp. I liked how it was just straight black all the way back. I really like that. And it'd be cool to do that with every arrow when you crown it, but whatever. I guess we'll just suffer.
Yeah. It's terrible issue to have these days, I suppose.
There's not a ton of options, but there's a ton of options too. So
I
mean,
there's enough to get by.
Are endless. Yeah, and I find that I'm not using all kinds of different colors. I don't do tons of cresting. I just do enough, and like, I try to keep it as simple as I can, because it can get overcomplicated and too busy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
I'm trying to keep it somewhat minimal, I guess.
Yeah, I know on the last 2 sets I made, normally I do a crown cresting to break up the crown and the body of the arrow. And Josh at Wild Fletching convinced me to do cresting in, like, where the feathers are going to be.
Yep.
And I will admit, it does look sharp, but I am undecided on whether I will continue to do it.
Yep. I do on most of mine. When I have a crown dip, I do a little bit under the feathers.
Yeah.
Again, it just looks sharp. There's no other reason for it. It's just
yeah, exactly. That's the best part of it all. Whatever looks good to you at the time.
Yeah, you can do a crest right below the nock if you want to. I mean, you can put the cresting or anywhere. Yeah, anywhere you want to. But essentially, yeah, the cresting is a place to transition between the body stain and the cap dip and whatever else you want to do. Well, go to town.
I like to call it the repair all.
Yep.
Black cresting is the mistake repair, that's for sure.
Yeah, I like black. I do a lot of black cresting. It's cool. Coats nicely and it just covers and yeah.
Yeah, my favorite and I see you use it a lot too is red and black. All my strings are always red and black. I love the way red and black cresting looks, especially on like a darker stained arrow. It just looks so sharp. That's my go-to right there.
Yeah, I agree. And I like a red cap too. Those are, you know, that's a really sharp combo. And
yeah.
People tend to give me lots of good feedback when I share those photos on the gram and all that stuff. So you got to do what the people like.
Yeah,
exactly.
Keep the peeps happy.
I like the color combo. My thing is I've always been I want to be able to see the arrow fly. And so I try to stay on the slightly brighter colors, which is why I'm usually somewhere in the white, yellow, the neon greens or chartreuses.
Yep.
But
yeah,
I will admit red and black is classy.
I like white quite a bit. It's especially when I'm stump shooting in the woods here, it just glows compared to everything else. You know, it just picks up so much more light that you can really see it from a long distance away if it flips off. And, you know, the best way not to lose an arrow is to not miss your target. So if you're hitting what you're trying to shoot at, you're not going to lose your arrows. But, you know, we all make a miss. Or you have the soft stump and the arrow goes through it and goes soaring off into the unknown. And then you're tracking it around trying to find it.
I was about to say, I don't know what I never miss. I always get pass-throughs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely get my shot bounce-offs when I hit a stump that seems like it should be soft, but you can't tell it 20 yards, and you poke it, and the arrow goes bouncing back 10 feet.
I don't know once you hit the age of, like, 15, if there's anything more degrading than when you shoot at a target and your arrow bounces off of it. There's just like something should be, you know, stick with the kid bow thing.
Yeah, like am I that much of a wimp? Bag target bow, I can't even get penetration on a piece of wood.
Yeah, freaking bag targets like to do that to you too. Freaking
yeah,
hit a tight section and just boink. Well, dang it.
Yep. So, for something I wanted to touch on with stump shooting and wood arrows is inherently the weakest part of the arrow is the taper on the point end because you're cutting through all those grains or, you know, all the growth rings.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's why I started using pistol brass on my point end. So I don't taper it down. I just glue it on and then it makes that. It seems to be way stronger. I glue it on with 5-minute epoxy.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps too, because I find that the hot melt glues sometimes with those hard impacts, stump shooting, you can have glue failure. And
it gets brittle, right?
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Kind of brittle.
What caliber shells are you using?
38 special.
Okay.
You could use 357 as well.
Same diameter.
They're
right?
A little bit. Yeah, 357. I think the case is a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But which anyway, and I melt a couple of.
A little more reinforcement there.
Yeah, well, I melt that too, but you can also put a bit more weight in them. So if you want to make them the same weight as your, you know, I shoot 125 grain everything, so yeah. I melt 2 No. 7 split shot into that 38 special.
Yeah.
And it makes them 125 grains, and then I just glue them right on the end of the shaft, and
So that's no taper, right? I'm guessing.
Yeah, so you're saying no tapers, no blunt taper. Blunt arrowhead with a shell casing, and then you don't have that weakness. That's awesome. I never really thought about that, man. That's that seems so obvious.
So I came to that conclusion because I kept losing. Like, I use the Ace hex heads,
yeah,
and they're fantastic as well. But I just kept having the tapers breaking off when I'd have hard hits, or you know, you do like a dozen shots. And you get a couple of hard hits out of that dozen shots, and then all of a sudden it just breaks off.
Yep.
You know, and there's nothing you can do. Every wood type will do it.
Yeah.
I know when we had Carson on a little while back from Sherwood, it hasn't launched yet, but, well, it probably has by the time this one comes out, but he was saying the same thing about those hex head, is they're just really hard on arrows, and he just likes the very standard blunt style.
Yeah, head. Right. Yeah. Yeah, just the steel blunts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the other nice thing with brass is it will deform too. So, cause it's way softer than steel. So if you do make a hard hit, often that brass will get deformed, but it takes a lot of that impact instead of it going into the shaft.
Now, do you ever just leave it with a good primer just to get a little excitement occasionally?
Ooh, good question.
No, I don't. Cause all my brass is pre-shot. Ready to reload brass that I actually buy, because we don't have tons of handgun shooters in Canada. So
yeah, that's right.
I actually buy it, but it's still like they're like 10 cents a piece or something. So it ends up being way less expensive than the other options.
Dear, why is the ATF here?
No questions.
I've bought a large quantity of brass cases.
Yeah, you're on a list somewhere, Blaine, just a heads up.
Yeah, probably.
Trudeau is coming to your place.
Buying handgun ammo. Yeah, let's not go there.
Oh, man.
We'll just stop the conversation on that right now.
Yeah, that sounds like a solid plan.
Oh, man. Sorry, man.
But yeah, anyway, that's what I do. And then, yeah, if you use epoxy, it's easy to get rid of it. Like, if you would need to change the point, you just heat it up and the epoxy will get loose with heat. And you can just pull the old one off and you can
that's good to know.
Do a little scrape with a knife or a little sandpaper, and it'll take off the residual that's there, and then you can just put another one on.
Well, you got me thinking, man. I think I'm going to give that a whirl. I just got to figure out how much lead I got to get in there to get it up to 160 grains.
Yeah, so if I was you, I would look for some 357, and just use your grain scale and put it on there and figure out how much. You're going to want probably at least a 3/4 inch glue on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know, see, that's just something to be aware of. And, and also if you have arrows you want to use for stumping, I just cut them all the same length, and then just stumping ones, I don't taper the front end, glue your brass on, use them. If you want to change it to a field point, and you can't go back to using brass, but you can just take the brass off, taper the shaft, glue on your field point or your broadhead. So it's pretty good that way. It works out really well.
All right, good
what
stuff.
Did you say you use for weighing them down against?
Oh, I've just bought split shot weights.
Gotcha.
Number seven split shot. Oh, there's a deer walking by the window right now.
you want us to give you a minute so you can take a shot at him, or?
Season's closed right now.
Oh, right. Of course.
I was thinking that you could. You could take little pieces of solder and just keep dropping it in there until you hit your weight, and then just use a torch and heat it up, and then that solder will melt.
Yep. Yeah, use 50-50 solder, then you don't have to heat the brass so hard. It's so hot because the 95.5 has a higher melt point.
Yeah.
Or you could use lead shot, you know, like open up a shotgun shell and just take the lead out, or if you know somebody who's reloading, or... Go to a tire shop, they always have mounds of lead kicking around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I actually have a bunch of lead laying around, so that works out for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not hard. So just, weigh it on your scale and put it in there and hit it with a propane torch. It doesn't take much heat to melt lead, so it just melts and levels out in the bottom, fills in all the little nooks and crannies, and give it a minute or two to cool off, and it's done.
You're heating it directly in the shell.
Yeah, I just feed it directly in the shell.
Okay.
I just drop it in and then hit the shell with the torch.
Oh man, I'm probably gonna be trying that today. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't leave a good primer in there.
Why not? I don't understand.
That might have your issues micro. Right there.
Nah. Yeah, you might get some hot lead blowing up in your face.
Yeah, you guys are just. It's not that big of a deal. It's okay.
Send us hospital pictures.
Of course.
Yeah. Don't wear eye protection.
Oh no! Who wears eye protection?
I
know.
You got two. What's the problem?
I had a buddy in high school who took. He wanted a. I don't know if it was a key. I think he was making a keychain, and he took the bullet out of a rifle round, dumped the powder, hit the primer. Put the bullet back in, and then he had a keychain. Well, his buddy thought it was really cool, so he went to make one too, and he changed one step. Took the bullet out, took the powder out, put the bullet back in, and then hit the primer.
Oh!
He said he hit the bricks when that bullet started bouncing around in the garage.
Oh, geez.
Just enough to propel that sucker a little bit. Oh, we were having a good laugh in math class.
That's funny.
Damn, that's scary.
Yeah. Lessons learned.
Yep, that's for sure.
Good stuff. Well, you guys want to get anything else?
Have any?
I was about to say, building
questions or anything else?
Oh, man, that's opening up a whole can of worms right there. Yeah. Arrow building questions.
How can Chris
be a better arrow maker?
Wow.
How to be a better arrow maker?
That's just a shot at me, Blaine. You don't need to answer that question. That's just crap.
Oh, man.
I think the number one to building good wood arrows is just, well, number one is buying quality shafts. That's number one. But number two is just learning how to straighten really well and get them straight. Because if they're not straight, you can see it in your cresting, so your cresting won't be as nice and... You know,
now, do you do it all by hand, or?
All my straightening?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you, I guess, use tools or just hand straightening?
Oh, no, I use a tool. I have an Ace roller straight.
Yeah.
And an Arrow Inspector, whatever they're called. That's what I use.
I have to get a new Arrow Inspector. The one I had... I ordered and got from, I forget who it was, but when it showed up, the wheels were off. They were drilled off center.
Oh,
and
no.
So you could put the straightest arrow on there, and it would be like, wop, 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 wop. It would wobble so bad. And I was like, what the?
Oh, no.
How do you? So, yeah, that kind of bummed me out. I've been looking for, I think I'd like to get one of the really good ones that are with bearings, if you've seen those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're just expensive.
The other option, too, is for DIY folks, is you go to the hardware store and buy some 1-inch caster wheels, the non-swiveling kind, and you can use those as, you can sort of offset those wheels slightly so that, and you use two on each end just on a chunk of 2x4, and you can make your own roller that way for like $5.
That sounds more interesting.
That sounds more like Chris's.
That's more my speed.
The only key I would assume is lining them up nicely.
Yeah.
It's easy. You just, it's intuitive. Just look at it and you'll see how you can just lay them on the block and then put your shaft on it because they're flat on the bottom. So they don't move. You just put them there and then put your shaft on and see how it kind of works. And then just put a couple screws in it and
perfect.
That's how I made my first one. I don't use that anymore. I switched to, the other style, but for somebody who's on a budget and wanting to just do it themselves, super easy.
I like that, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any, like, if you had to give a top three, so there was a quality shafts, trying to think. I know you wouldn't, was straightening the next part, or was that just part of the quality shafts?
No, straightening, yeah, because, you know, like, TrueShaft does a good job of straightening shafts before they send them out, but I still have to tweak them slightly, so it's just a skill that you need to learn.
Yeah.
If you're building wood arrows, don't just grab them and start building them and, you know, and just go for it. The other thing I always do is I pick the most naturally straight end as my knock end.
Yep.
Because trying to re-straighten a shaft when there's feathers on it in that section is not very easy. So pick your straightest end, and
yeah,
that's yeah, that dictates especially where your knot goes.
And then you can always try to cut it off too if you're cutting them down. That's another good thing to remember, depending on where the bend is.
Yeah,
and if you they tend to be wiggly, most wiggly at the ends. So generally, you're gonna lop one of them off. So yeah, just pick that straight end and then go from there with it.
Yeah, I've always looked for making sure I have the straightest grains, like not you know what I mean. Is that what you're talking about? Like when I'm picking my, I guess when I'm picking my knock end, I look for the straightest grains, and if there's like a little dip in the grain or something, that'll end up being my point end. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, I just put them on the arrow spinner and I just spin them, and okay, that end's totally already straight, or it's slightly just needs a little bit of correcting, and then that's just where I cut my knot taper on that end.
Yeah, I guess that's my next big thing is getting some kind of inspection tool, because I've been sighting down it, and which works. I mean that does you know a good enough job, but I need to look into that some more.
Yeah, well, just stop by whatever hardware store you have around you and buy some of those caster wheels and do it that way. And then you can just throw it together for a few bucks and you're done.
Yeah, I like that.
DIY is always better.
What are you doing for your tapering? Are you using like a hand taper tool, or are you using a power tool, woodchuck, something like that?
I use the Aerofix taper tools now. I was using hand taper tools.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got done doing that. I'm like, I'm wearing my hands out using these things. And so I bought the Aerofix tools, and they're fantastic. The blades are super sharp. I haven't had to change them yet, and I've done, you know, 50 or 60 dozen with them so far. And they fit in my little cordless drill, and I just...
Oh, that's pretty
super
sweet.
Super quick and easy.
Yeah, they are nice.
Yeah. So
I've been thinking about buying that... the one from the rent, or who is it? Traditional Archery Products. It goes on a drill.
Renfros.
Renfros, yes. I thought about buying that one.
Yeah.
Because I've done 3 dozen arrows in the last probably month and a half, and I'm already getting sick and tired of the hand tapering.
Yeah, and they just, like the little plastic ones, the blades just don't hold up.
Right.
And same with the True Taper tool, that thing I that's what I used for a long time, and I was constantly changing blades and
they
just don't hold up. So they work, they're fine, especially for a hobbyist, but if you're doing it on scale, like it's so worth getting one that's a power tool.
Yeah. I just inherited a woodchuck, which I'm pretty excited about.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I've never used one of those, but they seem like they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, I just you have to set it up a little bit, and I just got that all figured out, but I got it after I finished my other sets of arrows, so I can't wait to get a new set of arrows to use it. The only thing is, if you're doing it inside, you definitely got to have some kind of dust collection, like a shop vac going or something.
For sure, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool.
I would just use that outside.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll end up doing. I did the same thing with, what do you call it?
Spray painting your crowns.
Yeah, so I've been using the spray paint method for a few crowns, and I actually ordered the battery pack for my cresting, my spin right, so I could do it outside without, you know, getting into fumes. So that's kind of nice, too. Yeah.
Yeah. My setup for doing all that stuff is I use acrylic paint from the dollar store, and that's what I use for my crowns, and I just paint it on with a foam brush. I don't dip or spray paint.
Oh yeah, and it turns out pretty smooth.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. I do 2 coats, and between coats I just hit it with a bit of steel wool.
Okay.
Yep. And it comes out real smooth, and it's dirt cheap, and there's no
smell. And
that's
before any clear, right?
Yeah, I do my stain, and then I do my crown paint before I put any finish on, and then I do 1 coat of finish, and then I do my cresting, because if you don't have finish on, then your cresting's going to bleed into the wood.
Yep.
So you don't get as nice, tidy lines. So I do, and then I do 2 more coats of finish over top of the cresting.
I've been thinking about the acrylics for Crown. I just didn't know what to buy. I didn't know if I saw anything I liked yet.
Yeah.
It's just whatever, huh?
Yeah, I mean pretty much all acrylic paint is acrylic paint for the most part.
So just buy like
just finding a color that works with, you know, you want it to look fairly similar to the color of your feathers or whatever, right?
So or your cresting.
Yeah.
Do you thin it at all?
Nope. Well, sometimes I do. Like with my True North paints, sometimes I thin them a little bit.
Right.
I had a weird. I don't know if it was a compatibility issue, but my black True North cresting paint, I know when I paint it on, it goes on smooth. And then I was using that Minwax polycrylic. And it makes it look like I have brush marks when I clear dip. And it's just the black, because I have, like, all the colors I have for cresting are from True North. So I'd have to assume on, you know, maybe there's something slightly different color to color as far as its chemical makeup, so to speak. But it's really strange that it's just the black paint that's doing that little, like, rippling.
Yeah, so interesting.
I'm
using just dollar store acrylic black for my black paint now for my cresting.
Yeah, the nice thing about cresting is even if it goes on matte, by the time you hit it with clear, it'll be popping.
Yeah, and that's what it is. The acrylic black paint I have is matte, but you wouldn't know it after I'm done with it.
Yeah.
So it's just as shiny as everything else. There's so many things that you can do, and that's where it's confusing, and that's where I was confused when I started, was because there's just so much. When you don't know what you're doing, it just gets overwhelming, right? And you're just like, how, what? And then all this talk of, oh, you got to use finishes and glues that are compatible and all this stuff. I'm just like, what? So that's why I'm super open book with people. If they have any arrow building questions, just hit me on Insta and I'm happy to answer, because I want people to build arrows because it's a fun process, and I would, you know, I want to help people do that. And the more people shooting wood arrows, the better as far as I'm concerned. So
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm happy to help anybody out anytime with products and what I do and how I use it, and because it's pretty straightforward and simple, but at the same time, if you don't know where to start, you don't know where to start.
It's funny how our podcast has pretty much just become wood arrow building podcast.
I think I was telling you that yesterday, Blaine, when we were chatting real quick, just to make sure everything was going right. It's not where this podcast intended to go, but it has turned into that.
And which is fine with either one of us, because both of us are really into it.
Yeah, no, it's good. And it seems to be the trend, right? I think more and more people are going that way. After you've shot tag for a few years,
you're
like, maybe those wood arrows look pretty sweet. And, you know, it just takes people further away from their compound days or whichever. And
some of it's kind of amusing. It's like, yeah, I still suck at this, but how can we make it harder?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It makes it harder, but it makes it more interactive,
rewarding.
because you can take raw wood shafts and make your own arrows, and that's
awesome.
Something you don't get with carbons, because you're just buying shafts and then gluing feathers on. It's different, right?
Yeah, and you're more involved with the process now. You know, I mean, when you're doing that, it's so cool. I just switched last spring, and I got my first. I killed the deer I got this year was with a wood arrow, and it was just so awesome. I that might be such a small part, but man, it was just cool to be like, yep. I mean, you know, I took that from a piece of wood to a nice finished arrow, and then killed something with it. It just makes the process that much more enjoyable. The more involved you are,
That's why
I want to make a self bow now. You know, just one more part of it.
So cool.
And like I was saying, you start doing leather work and making your own strings and all that stuff. Like, just
social life goes in the toilet.
Which I'm totally fine with.
I'm okay with that.
I get along better with my bows anyways.
Yeah,
me too.
They understand.
I've practically built almost all my kit. Like, yeah, I have bows other people have built, but I have, you know, my quivers I've built myself, and I've built my arm guard and all my arrows and like so many things. It's just because you just want to, I just get interested in learning how to do something. So I go, okay, well, I'm going to figure out how to, you know, I wanted a back quiver. Okay, I'll figure out how to do it. I ordered some leather and some tools and I built one. And it's not that hard.
I think, really, I think leather works on the list because I have a knife that I absolutely love that Travis made, one of our friends made. And I want to make a leather sheath for it. So that's like, that's going to start things, I think, in that realm for me.
Yeah, for sure.
I had started making tabs a few years back, and it was funny. I literally had more money into the materials and tools than it did for me to have bought a new tab.
But it's fun. So I mean,
it was a blast.
Yeah, it's just one more thing. I don't know.
Well, then you have the tools. And then,
exactly.
You know, now you can make lots of tabs.
Whether you do it again or not. You can make lots of tabs.
And sell them to pay for the tools.
I did for a while.
Yeah.
And then the leather store went out of business by me. Which was
inconvenient. Candy leather will ship anywhere, so it's easy to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice when you can go into a store. But I built a plain style quiver this winter that I saw Ryan Gill using all the time, his sort of whatever. And then he did a YouTube video on how to build one. He sells a kit on how to do it. I was like, well, there's some free information. I'm going to take it. I ordered some material and I built one. It only took me like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. And it's sweet. It's cool. It's something different.
I've watched that video. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's really detailed. And, you know, there were some things that he didn't quite cover, but he covered it close enough that I could see what he was doing. And I just figured it out.
He's a cool guy to follow.
Oh yeah, he's a super cool guy.
Yeah.
That's he can be like Clay Hayes sometimes, just casually perusing the YouTube, and the next thing you know, how did I get here, and why am I spending money?
Yeah, 10 hours of your life later, you're like, where, huh?
Yeah, I've pretty much dropped YouTube. Like, I don't participate in YouTube because of the same thing. It's too distracting in life, so.
Yeah, that's a wormhole that you can lose a couple hours of your life in.
So
oh, yeah,
fast.
Easy. Yeah.
I guess it's not that bad if it's something, you know, positive
productive.
Like that. You're actually being productive by watching it. You're learning something, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, YouTube University is great. If you need to learn something, go in there and you find something. But there's so much content on there now, it's more like reality TV, and it's just like,
yeah. Well, you got to be picky and choosy about it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I can tell you, coming from a mechanics background, there's nothing better than when the customer says, well, I saw it on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If it's on the internet, it's got to be real, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Go home and fix it yourself then.
Yeah. That happens in the HVAC world too.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. But, an expert.
Yep.
Precisely. But I'm thinking, on that note, we've been at this for probably close to 2 hours already. They're playing.
Damn, did we even get anywhere? I mean,
yeah, I think so.
That was a very fun conversation. They'll have to hang in till the last 10 minutes to get some good quality wood arrow making tips. Unfortunately, but
that's all right.
That's okay.
That's how we keep through the episode.
Exactly. Those are the dedicated listeners that are going to get that help. So, but.
Plus, I'm going to change my blunts now.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yep.
we definitely want to thank you for coming on, Blaine, and you're always welcomed back on, of course.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was awesome. I'm glad we randomly connected the other day, and you were asking me a question about something, and like, hey, you want to come on the podcast? I'm like, yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, man.
It was a great time, and your accent was awesome to listen to the whole time, so.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
We're
Canadian enough.
You're there. You're definitely, you got a little. I'm only like an hour from Canada, a much different area of Canada, but.
Yeah, Schaefer's got it too, so don't listen to him.
Yeah, well, us on the West Coast, we don't have quite the same kind of accent stuff as they do on the East Coast. That's for sure.
No, yours sounds better. you sound a lot nicer, too, than Quebecians.
Oh, well, yeah. We don't need to go there either.
Best part about COVID, no Quebec people on the interstates down here.
I don't have anything against Quebec people. I have some pretty good friends who are French Canadian, so.
Oh, man, that's too good. But before we get into a tangent we probably don't want to get into.
yeah, let's not.
Yeah. Once again, Blaine, it was a great time, and really appreciated you coming on and chatting with us for a while.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thanks thank you so much. We'll probably get you back on, and we'll really get into the arrow building. We'll make it dedicated arrow building episode.
We didn't expect where you're from becoming so entertaining.
Yeah, that it is not entertaining, but like
cool,
awe inspiring. Maybe is a good word. I mean, keep posting pictures, man, because I like to I like to see them. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You betcha.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Yeah, most definitely.
Bye now.
See you.
Bye.